In part four of Darby or Jesus, we're going to take a look at what Jesus had to say about the pre-tribulation rapture. Stay tuned. This episode, part four of Darby or Jesus, we're going to take a look at what Jesus Christ himself had to say about the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, the first place I want to start is in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24. There are two simple reasons that the Olivet Discourse is vital for any study of biblical eschatology. Now, for those of you who don't know, the word eschatology, it's a theological term. And it's the part of theology concerned with the death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul and of humankind. Christian hope is concerned with eschatology. There are two simple reasons, like I said, why the Olivet Discourse is vital for any study of biblical eschatology. First, next to the book of Revelation, it does contain the largest prophetic passage in the New Testament. Second, next to the Sermon on the Mount, it contains the longest uninterrupted teaching of Jesus. So if you would like to turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Again, that's Matthew chapter 24. We will begin with verse 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Follow along. It's really important to lay the groundwork here. Verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Right there, when Jesus was alive, he was prophesying 70 years into the future, 70 AD, when the temple in Jerusalem would be torn down, there in verse 2. Now in verse 3, it says, And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How many times have we seen that throughout history, just in my lifetime alone? Verse 6, And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Let's remember this one thing here. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples, Israel. And right here, he's telling them, way off in the future, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars. But he tells them not to be troubled by it, for all those things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, the word divers isn't talking about some scuba diver there, all right? That means many, varying many places. And these, in verse 8 here, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9, this is kind of like covering for the Jews. It's talking about from the time of Jesus until the great tribulation period. All right. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He's telling them, from now until the time I come set up my kingdom here on earth, just the way it's going to be. Now verse 10 says, And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. That's going on today. It has been. It was happening even when some of the disciples were still alive, and the apostles like Paul and John. In the early church in the first, second century, they had false prophets come out of their own churches and deceiving people. And it's going on today. In verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And from the time Jesus was here all the way up till now, iniquity shall abound. In other words, it shall keep getting greater and greater. And if you don't know what iniquity is, it's sin, it's lawlessness. And the love of many shall wax cold. And we're seeing that today. How many people can you think of that literally just every word that comes out of their mouth is hate? And their love is cold toward people. In verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, folks, he's not talking to Christians right there. He's still talking to the Jewish people. He's still talking to Israel today. And he's speaking to his people. It was his disciples that asked him, when are these things going to happen? And he was addressing them, not the church. He was addressing his disciples for the time of Jacob's trouble, that things that Daniel spoke of, the great tribulation period. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that's not talking about he who endures unto the end that goes through the great tribulation period. That means until the end. Your end could very well be going 6 foot under before all this stuff goes down. I myself could be 6 foot under, but as long as I endure unto the end, I will be saved. In other words, I'm going to run my race and I'm going to run it in God's strength, not my own, and I'm going to finish that race. Now, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, folks, I get it. There's probably some tribes out in the remote jungle somewhere down in a valley, living in a cave or something. Maybe that they have not heard the gospel. When you look at everything going on, there's so many precursors. I mean, we're seeing things already happening that speaks that the Great Tribulation is like right on the doorstep, right on the precipice. It's like standing on a cliff and you can see it. It's just like right there in front of you. The gospel has been preached in all the world. I want to show you a pattern here. I got to lay this right now. I got to lay this out for you to see. Have you noticed the pattern? Like I read a little bit and I explained it and I said, well, this was for the Jewish people. And then I said, well, this is for the church and the Jewish people. And there was a part where he kind of went ahead in the future and went ahead a little bit further ahead. But then he came back and said, but it's not yet. And then he went ahead in the future a little bit and he came back and said, well, it's not yet. Now, I want you to pay attention to that because that is vital to understanding how Matthew chapter 24 is laid out. Now, verse 15, he's speaking to the Jewish people again, and he's jumped ahead at the halfway point of the Great Tribulation period. And he says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. At the halfway point of the Great Tribulation period, of course, the Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt by then. After the Antichrist makes a peace deal with a lot of nations, but especially with Israel. At the 3.5 year mark, he's going to betray them. He's going to break that treaty. And he's going to go after the Jewish people and try to wipe them out. He's going to set up an idol of some sort, or maybe even set himself up in the Jewish temple as God. Verse 16 says, let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He's showing them, you know, don't come off your rooftop. Just run. Run, okay? There's going to be a safe haven for the Jews to go to. But he's telling them, don't even go back in your house and get any belongings. You just better run at that point. He says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, because winter's pretty harsh. And he goes on to say, neither on the Sabbath day. Why would that be important? Because the Jewish people don't do anything on the Sabbath day as far as like work goes. And for them to flee, that would be considered work. So they might struggle with that. Now, verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. At that point, at the halfway mark of the Great Tribulation period, where God the Father pours out his wrath, you can go to Revelation chapter 11, all right? And at the halfway point, it shows where the two witnesses were martyred, and they laid there in the street for 4 days, and the world was rejoicing. Yeah, finally, those men that tormented us, they're dead. And then God raises them from the dead, and everyone's like, oh, no, no. And then God raptures them. God takes them to heaven. And then you go on down and talks about the prophets and the saints. Now, this chapter 11, and this is part of one, I'm going to go ahead and touch on it here, and I may have touched on it before in one of my previous episodes on this issue, and I don't even remember, to be honest with you. But this is clearly, all right, this is clearly in Revelation chapter 11 at the halfway point of the Great Tribulation period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It tells us right there that right before God pours out his judgment on the world, he talks about it's time for the judgment of the dead. Now, that's not talking about the dead who have died and gone to hell, because that's not until the great white throne judgment. But the dead spoken of here are those who are dead in Christ. They're no longer dead. They've already been raised because of the pre-tribulation rapture. And like I said, I'm going to nail this pre-tribulation rapture so you understand it in its proper, all this in its proper context. But they are already in their glorified bodies in heaven. Revelation chapter 11 is a clear picture of the bema seat of Christ taking place. Down around verse 18, it talks about the judgment and about rewards, which it's not a judgment because of sin. It's the bema seat of Christ. And we can easily see he's given awards to the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament believers and to the saints. There's only one group of people called the saints, and that's the church. And then in between the raising of those two witnesses and between God pouring out his wrath, it's the bema seat. And another thing I want to point out real quick before I move on in Matthew is I'm going to also show you throughout this, the rest of the study, okay, how the trumpet that sounds at the last trump and then the trumpet, the last trumpet that's blown by an angel in the Great Tribulation period, two completely different trumpets, and I will prove that by scripture. And also to show that that seventh trumpet that sounds is not at the end of the Great Tribulation period. The seventh trumpet that sounds is at the midpoint. It is the final trumpet, but it's at the beginning of the first part of the last 3.5 years when God begins to pour out his wrath. I'm also going to show you through scripture with the pre-tribulation rapture that it can't be a mid-trib or a pre-wrath. Pre-wrath doesn't even make sense, folks. All right, I'm going to show you why, because when you study out the book of Revelation, that first 3.5 years, it ain't no walk in the park. You ain't sitting down eating cake and ice cream. It's apocalyptic in and of itself. It's just that the last 3.5 years, when the wrath of the Father comes, the wrath of God, it's unlike anything ever. So just imagine the first 3.5 years being apocalyptic, unlike anything we've ever seen. And then the last 3.5 years is like really bad. Now, in verse 22, he says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Now, he's talking about the Jews there again, all right? The elect, his elect people. Folks, the church ain't there. The elect is the Jewish people, not tribulation saints. If you're here during the Great Tribulation period and you love the Lord, there's a good chance you're going to be martyred for your faith. Now, not all Christian people that accept the Lord during the Great Tribulation period are going to be martyred, but good chance you will be. But the elect is the Jewish people, not Christians. Too many Christians running around with this replacement theology that Israel ain't important no more and that we've taken their place thing or something, and that's a bunch of hooey. And 23 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe not." Remember in 22, I said, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." It's talking about the Great Tribulation period at the second half of it when the big wrath comes down, all right? But look here in 23. But this is before the Great Tribulation period. So you see how he does that? He's talking future tense. at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24, in 70 AD, he talked about the temple being torn down, every stone, not one stone left upon another. But then he jumps ahead and he starts talking about things that'll happen before the Great Tribulation period. And then he goes into the Great Tribulation period, comes back, goes back into the Great Tribulation period, comes back. So you see the pattern here? So there is some jumping back and forth going on. Now 25 says, "Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Now verse 27 says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, he's talking about the second advent here, when he comes back again at the end of the Great Tribulation period. So you see, he's jumped forward again. "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Now this is talking about at the end of the Great Tribulation period, when Jesus comes back and all the saints come back with him, and he defeats the armies of the world, those gathered at Armageddon. 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now this is the second advent at the end of the Great Tribulation period. "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now that word heaven there is not talking about heaven where God is at. From one end of heaven to the other, it's talking about this atmosphere from the four winds. In other words, the four corners of the earth. He's going to gather his elect, the Jews. Now verse 32 says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now here's where we get into verse 36, is where Jesus speaks of the pre-tribulation rapture. Number one, he's telling them, see, he's gone into the future. This generation shall not pass. He's, you know, to all these things be fulfilled. And he's talking about that generation of folks that will be in the Great Tribulation period. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." But 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man," right? "No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Like I said, common sense says that at the end of the Great Tribulation period, you would know. If you think the Christians are going through the Great Tribulation period, tell me then how it is if no man, including Christians, know the day or the hour. If you're in the Great Tribulation period and you see all these things going on, you can count the days. As a matter of fact, from the time that the Antichrist set up the abomination in the temple, you could probably just about count the hours, maybe even the minutes or seconds, and you're going to know the exact time he's coming back. When he's talking about this day and hour knoweth no man, he's not talking about the second advent. He's talking about the event before the Great Tribulation period. But he goes on to say in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now there's a lot of people who believe in a post-tribulation rapture, or even no rapture. I want to take that passage of scripture right there, "For as in the days of, you know, they before the flood, they were eating and drinking," and then they say, "and knew not till the flood came, took them all away." Now, at the end of the Great Tribulation period, all right, anybody who has taken the mark of the beast and has survived the Great Tribulation period, the wheat and the tares. Now, there's the wheat and the tares, and then there's the sheep and the goats, all right, that the scriptures talk about. The wheat and the tare is talking about at the end of the Great Tribulation period. The sheep and the goats is referring to the nations at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. For right now, in our study about the pre-tribulation rapture, we're going to use the wheat and tares because that fits at the end of the Great Tribulation period. So that's who it's speaking of there when it says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So see, he's jumped ahead to the end of the Great Tribulation period. I want you to use a little logical deduction here. It says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Now, I could really easily tag that on to the end of verse 39 and say one of those two in the field was one of the ones that took the mark of the beast and they were a tare and God removed the tare from the wheat. All right. But we've already proved that Jesus like went forward, came back, went forward, came back, went further forward, came back. So shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. This is talking about the pre-tribulation rapture. Why do you say? The second half of the tribulation period, it's like the wrath of God. And it's unlike anything. It's going to be like multiple thousands of times worse than the first 3.5 years. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, life was normal. It was like normal like it is today. Until the day that Noah entered into the ark, at the end of the great tribulation period, there's just no way that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be like hell on earth. It's going to be bad. Nobody's going to be like drinking and eating. People aren't going to be partying. People ain't going to be sitting around playing video games, watching the boob tube, or going to the movie theater. All right, so let's go down to verse 41. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore. Now here's context. Watch therefore. Right on the heels of that. For ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Doesn't it seem kind of obvious? Let me share you another thing why. Because the Jews. Jesus told his disciples, when you see all these things happening, it's almost there. But he gave them a sign. He did give them a sign to look for when everything would hit the fan, right? It's right here. Two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. In other words, what he's saying is, he's telling his disciples so his people will know. When you see a whole lot of people suddenly disappear from earth, it's time for Jacob's trouble. It's time. It's hitting the fan right then and there. But they're still not going to buy it. They're still going to make a peace treaty with the Antichrist. They're going to think that he's their savior. They're still not going to get it. But a clear, perfect example that no man knows the day nor the hour, and it's obvious. You're going to know the day or the hour at the end of the Great Tribulation period. And he says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to kind of wrap this up right here for now. In the next episode, I am going to touch on some more of this Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to go into Luke chapter 17, 1 Thessalonians. Like I said, somewhere down the road, I'm going to explain the difference between the trumpets, who's blown the trumpets, what they're for, and oodles and gobs of passages of scriptures. I'm going to go into the Greek meaning of the word keep. From that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10. Give you a little precursor there. You can go look at that. I'm glad everybody joined me for this part 4 of Darby or Jesus. And like I said, we're not through yet. It's probably going to take me at least another 3 or 4 episodes to finish this teaching out on the pre-tribulation rapture. And we're getting into some serious stuff here, but we're going to get into some serious meat and going into the Greek and everything very, very soon. Everybody have a blessed day. Love y'all. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast here on Piercing the Darkness. If you know someone you feel would be blessed by these episodes, please share with your family and friends on social media. Also, please consider a small monthly donation on our Anchor page to sustain future episodes. I'm Dan Newcomb, and have a blessed day.